and in the church, we're going to be okay. And so, really, that's what I want us to understand, that we particularly need to give attention to God's Word. In the culture right now, there are things going on within the culture that are very destructive to men. Now, we could talk about women, too, so understand, a lot of the material we're developing here could apply to both, but we're focusing in on men for this quarter. We talked about sons needing heroes. One of the characteristics of men is men, they have a characteristic of being aggressive, being competitive. There's a whole list in lesson one. We talked about some basic characteristics of men in contrast to women. And the idea of having a hero. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. Love this verse. We studied this last week at the end of the class. So this is a review here. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, not let the rich man glory in his riches, but him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, saith the Lord." And you may say, "Well, Larry, what does this have to do with heroes?" Well, let me tell you, there was a time when I was a boy, I played baseball. It's interesting, I wasn't very good in baseball. I was the guy that set the bench, and they put me in for the minimal plays all throughout when I was playing in the park ball. Started getting a little better when I was a teenager, and my dad coached my team 1 year, and I made the All-Stars, won the bat title. I think I had a 500 batting average, and it was amazing, you know, what happened there. But at that time, I gloried in baseball. If I gloried in baseball, do you think I had some baseball heroes? I did. At that time, the great hitter that was in 68, 69, 70, 71 was Pete Rose. I was a Cincinnati fan. I imagine instead of having Rouse on the back of my uniform, just take the U out and it's Rose. And so again, it's okay to have a hero and something you're interested in, and I don't think what I did was sinful. But I am saying that while your boys may have heroes of different kinds, they need heroes that are godly. And how do you get there? How do you develop your children to find heroes of those in the Bible and of men of faith today? The slide's not progressing there. See what I'm having trouble progressing the slide. Anyway, how do you get there? First off, I think obviously how we, what we do as dads and mothers will communicate our heroes. Could I ask right now, no, I'm not asking for participation, who's your hero? You know, it's very interesting when you're around people who really are into serving God, they like to talk about Bible characters to those that are Christians. They like to talk about faithful Christians. They would look and they would praise those that they admire. Do you understand we do that naturally? And so one of the greatest things we can give our children is simply a heart that has that attitude. And so, you know, what we're excited about. You know, we need to discuss Bible characters as real. One of the things, again, I mean, there's so many steps here that you could take how you do this. I know that our kids, particularly our Emily, she would love to have bedtime stories. We had turned the light off, and I would to tell her stories, and sometimes a Bible story. Now, she ended up loving Sodom and Gomorrah because the fire and brimstone rained down from heaven. No, she was excited about that as a young kid. But I tried to tell Bible stories to her and describe those Bible characters in my own words. There's a thousand ways you can do this. But also, we need modern heroes of faith. We need modern heroes. I want to tell you, if there are those in the church that are godly and good, it's good to talk to your children about those people, to hear you speak well of those brethren. And I can tell you, I've got a lot of names of men that are dead that even as a young man that were heroes to me. There's one used car salesman at the old 77th Street building in Birmingham that he was a hero of faith to me. He would go take me out to gospel meetings and do a lot of things. Bud Sparks, still remember his name. He's been dead for 20 years. Still remember Bud Sparks. And so again, this is something that's really important. Now, there sometimes may need to be intervention. Could you parents maybe have concerns if your children have the wrong kind of heroes? How would you know what heroes your children have? I think we can know. And again, we want to be wise here. You know, and so there's all kinds of opportunities we have given us. I'm telling you, it's good to have a scheduled time to talk to your children, okay? It's great to do that. But really the essence of instilling faith is going to be creative. It really can come at different times. How many of you, I'm not asking for a raise of hand, but those of you who have children in the home right now, spend a lot of time in the van going to sports things and other things and traveling, you know. You may have a lot of time where you're in the van. That can be a great occasion. I know with our kids, they had favorite hymns. They loved to sing. And you just have to be creative. Let me ask you this. Let's do participate in this. How do we know whether or not we're getting through to our children? And it's a great question. How do we know whether or not they are developing heroes of faith? How do we know whether or not we are implanting the word and accomplishing that in a successful way? And this is such a serious, and it's a difficult question. If you'd asked me this question when my kids were in the home, I'd have to take some time to think about it. But I'm throwing this out at you. How would you know if you're being successful? Yes.
One simple way is just to have them asking you questions, feel comfortable asking you questions about those matters.
Yes.
Once they're comfortable doing that, then you know that what you say to them, that makes it.
Yeah. And really, your answer, in a nutshell, is the answer. Talk to them. Interact with them. Find ways for them to tell you what's on their heart. And you know, that really requires a wise relationship. You want your children to be comfortable to talk to you. And that's wisdom here. How you get there is great wisdom. But that's how you do it. And by the way, they're going to learn a whole lot more, and they are learning a whole lot more than they will tell you. Okay? Let me also tell you that, parent, because sometimes you may say, well, my kid doesn't talk much. You know, I don't know what's going on. Don't despair. Do not despair. You would be amazed at what they are learning. You'll only get a fraction of the feedback. And so I want to encourage you. So now new section today. We're trying to build men. And we need to take the time, and that goes back to communication, to be, take the time to show and teach the courage to do what is right. Men, by God's design, are to be leaders. Being a leader is not easy. Being a leader means you'll go against the grain. Being a leader means that you're going to take a responsibility upon you whether or not you feel like it or not. How do we build leaders? In Joshua 1:7, here Joshua, instructed by God, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Joshua 23:6, therefore be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside to it, to the right hand or to the left. Could I just say this for a moment? Let's just stop right here. Why is keeping and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, why does that take courage? Matter of fact, how much courage does it take according to this verse? It takes a lot of courage. Why is that so? Yes.
Because not everybody wants to do it. You got to stand up and be the leader and do it when nobody else wants to.
Yeah. I realize women can do this and men can do this, so I am not putting down women at all in the comment I'm about to make. But we talked about how boys are wired differently. Again, there's exceptions to all of this. But boys, when developed properly, oftentimes can have the ability to control the emotional side and to look very specifically, narrowly at principle, if trained correctly. Women can do this too, okay? But I do think if you talk about advantage of men and women, that women have advantage in relationships, they can multitask, that they have emotion that can connect with others and so on. But men can't tend to be more focused and have developed an ability to set aside the emotion to go ahead and do what is right. Again, as a rule, as a general rule, okay? And so these type of things to men, because men tend to admire generals. They admire sports figures. They admire, and again, women can as well, but I'm just talking about the tendency of men here. 2 Chronicles 32:7, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, here's the emotion, or dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Here is a man who's made God his hero. There's more with us than with him. We want to build men that courageously want to serve God. And I'll tell you, this is probably the most difficult thing we'll ever do as Christians. Are you hearing me? To instill faith in all of our children, both girls and boys, being able to instill and build up a godly young man that will have the courage to stand on principle, that which is reasoned from Scripture, that which is right, regardless of all of the people who try to emotionally beat you down. God has wired men to be competitors and to fight, and when we direct it in God's pattern, men make the natural leaders when trained properly. Proverbs, Psalms 27, 13, 14. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 31, 21. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplication when I cried out to you. Let me go back to this verse. Psalms 27, the first verse we read. What is the difficult thing for men to do in this verse? It could be all Christians as well, but I mean, we talk about men particularly. Us men, we like to do what? We like to stand up and fight the battle and fight it right now and be done with it and win. We got a battle. We may go die. Hey, we can do that. We can go in and fight the battle. What's the difficult part about the battle in Psalms 27? What's the difficult part? Wait. And by the way, in the building up of your children, there's a lot of waiting. This is the long-term fruit of standing by faith, working in a principled way, and waiting. And so, there is our challenge. Verse 23, I didn't finish reading that other verse. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Now, we're going to have a major area of participation now. We've gotten a general outline here. The idea of building our young men, teaching them courage, But you know, it's not going to do us any good if that's all we get. Yeah, let's follow the Bible. I'm going to follow the Bible. And that's what your son says. Let's follow the Bible. But there are no specifics. That's nothing more than sentimentality. So now, I'm going to start my list. And you can look at my list or you can make your own list. Here is your son, your daughter even. What are some of the bedrock principles that must be found in a godly man, and really a godly woman too? I'm going to put one out here. And this is hard, particularly as they're young. I mean, wow, to learn this. This is so hard. This is a maturing thing, but he must put others first. I'll put that one out there. And if I had an area of, I don't know how I'd rate how well we did on that. What's the problem of our culture right now with this? Put others first. What does the culture say to young men? If you want it, get it. If you want it, make sure somebody gives it to you. If you want it and somebody's in your way, go over them. Okay, class, fill out the list. How would we fill the list that we want, the specific things we want our children to be and do as being a godly man? Okay, yes. I didn't know that. You just told me something new there. I didn't know that.
On the job, if you want to get there on time, you do, but it's no big deal to be 5, 10, 15 minutes late. That's nothing. And that's sort of the attitude that has been cultivated by this culture that we live in. It's not important. And like you said a while ago, if I don't earn enough, someone will give it to me.
If we had a big mistake we've made in our culture, in particular with our kids, is that I want it and they get it. Okay? We've been guilty of that. We're going to develop number 4 in a whole section. But notice the other things I put. Okay, go ahead. Yes.
All the things that I would add to this is to be thankful.
Yes.
Be gracious for what they've been given.
Thankful. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Now, that's one we tried to talk about a lot. I will tell you, I've never known a truly faithful person to fall away, okay? Sometimes their mind development and their logic may be skewed. But if they can know what God has given them and will continue to give them and provide for them, that is very, very powerful. And one of the things I want to teach my children is to have a godly home. And again, how can they have a godly home? It's going to depend on my relationship with my mate. And I try to tell our children, again, and this was not done in a boastful way, God has blessed you. It's not that Yvette and I are anybody special, but I said, Yvette and I love God. And because we love God, and because it's God, it's not us, we're going to give you attention. We're going to stay together. We're going to work together. You'll see it in this culture. And our kids have all come back to me and going, we see what you mean. They probably didn't fully understand it until they got into the culture. And we gave God the credit. And so when they see the mess in the culture, they thank God. And that really helps. That is such a foundational principle. Excellent point. What else? Yes.
I know that I guess we all talk about what we know, and as
You want to give us a few more? These are really good. Okay. That's excellent. 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 You know, here's somebody on the firing line here. And so I always listen, very thankful for, you know, and again, we can do this. Brethren, we can do this. Yes.
One of the ones I think you had a verse a few minutes ago, they must learn to wait. They must learn to be patient. Yeah. That's one thing. The other thing was on number one, to put others first is that can't be more true in any other situation than with our spouse. To the point to where, as men, we dwell with our spouse, our wives, in an understanding way. That means to even mold ourselves and our desires and needs to that which provides for them and their needs. We can't just say, okay, I am who I am. You got to be who you are, and we got to figure this thing out. No, I have to change myself so that I can meet the needs of my spouse. And if I don't do that, then I'm not putting her first.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, as a man, my wife's not happy, and I'm assuming that she's spiritual, okay? Even if she's struggling and non-spiritual, but still there's an element here. If things aren't going well in the home, it's on me. And I want to face up to that and deal with it with all the skills I have. We may need to ask for new skills and ask for help, and that's okay to be humbled. It is okay. And that's critical. I love the idea of learning how to handle women, because I'm so sorry to mention this to you, but we talked about this already. Remember the digital dungeons we talked about? How our kids are getting caught up in the internet at a younger and younger and younger age? And I'm so sorry to mention this, but it is true. Do you know where the majority of the young men in this country learn how to treat women? Pornography. The average age of exposure to pornography is 11 years old. And I can remember as a kid, I didn't understand women. I didn't understand women for a long time, you know, and it was kind of a mysterious thing. We talk about the development of a boy, how he's close to his mother, then he's going to be close to other boys and his father. And during that phase, that early phase, women are mystery. I didn't understand them. And here, they're going to the worst possible source to learn about women. And so again, I'm just being very honest here. We can win this battle, but we need to understand what the battle is. To give to those in need is another point I had, and you have filled in the blank here. We can go on. But this takes courage. And one more time, we can do this. We have to be wise. Now for a very interesting one. You may say, I think we've already talked about this. We haven't. And here, parents, please, pray about this. We need to understand that our children need to be tested. Now, this is an age-specific thing, to what degree of the test or what's being done. Let's look at some verses. To be tested and to learn from those tests. Exodus 20:20, God dealing with the nation of Israel. It says, as Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. Let me go show you another verse, Deuteronomy 8:2. And you shall remember all the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And one more verse, Jeremiah 20:12, but O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind and heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded my cause before you. We're talking about building a godly man. And I ask this question of you. What is the difference between a temptation and a test? Who tempts in Scripture? Who's involved with temptation? Satan. But God's involved with a test. What's the difference? When God tests us, what does He want to see? He wants to see our motives, our heart, and He wants us to go forward and grow. When Satan tempts us, what does he want to do?
Break us down.
You know, if you're dealing with sports, if you're dealing with business, you're dealing with school, tests come, and we're speaking of things that will challenge you that handled right make you stronger. Let me give you one area. There's a lot more areas than this. And let's just talk about attending the assemblies of a local church. We tried with our children to teach on principle about attendance. One of you explained to me, if you were to teach your children about attendance, what would you teach? What would you teach about attending local church?
It's a priority.
It is a priority. Can you put it in other words? This is practical words, yes.
It's the most important appointments that you've made during the week. And if you substitute that appointment that you've made, then you have now done that thing instead of the appointment that you had with God.
Yeah. It's a priority issue. It's an appointment issue. Yes, Stan?
If we teach them attendance is more of an opportunity and a privilege and an honor and a love for our fellow Christians.
Yes.
Instead of, do we have to go? It's, guess what, we get to go maybe an extra time this week because we've got a gospel meeting, and that's such a great honor for us to be able to do.
Yeah. This is a challenge. Now, I would teach it as an obligation and an opportunity to do both. Because sometimes they may not like the brethren very much. And that's their problem, you know. So, but I teach it both ways. You're right. We're not just saying attend and have your mind shut off and you throw your body there. You know, it's more than that. But let's just talk about attendance. There's never any challenge while your children are in the home about attending, right? Huh? Lots of challenges. What are some of the challenges?
Sports.
What else? How about school? School events.
Sickness.
You know, what's that?
Sickness.
Sickness? Yeah, when are you really sick? You know, is it Sunday sickness? You know, things like that. All I'm saying here, brethren, we have to make some judgments as parents. And there's probably more significant judgments we make than this, okay? This is an amazing, but still. You know, we had boys that were successful in sports. They had school events they went to. And the Lord's Day, if they could not assemble with God's people on the Lord's Day, we didn't take that trip. And there were times as parents, we actually would go on the trip so we could be there, and we would take them to services while the kids did something at maybe Six Flags or something else, and we did that. Now, that's the choices we made as parents, and you need to look, and you need to think about that as parents. You will not regret this. I can remember David telling me the story, David Hartzell, about when he was in high school. He was on the line, I believe, played on the offensive line, if I remember right. And his team went to state playoff, or maybe an important game. I think it was a playoff game. Church there had a gospel meeting. He went to the gospel meeting partially dressed in his uniform. After the meeting was over, he came and he jumped the fence at halftime and went and finished putting his pads on and played the second half. I'm just telling you the choices that family made, and he didn't regret doing that. There are a lot of other kind of tests we can talk about, brethren. And I'm telling you, if you're listening to me, we have to make some judgments here. But I do appreciate, and I'm always concerned when My children, you know, when they become adults, they have those same tests. Can there be a situation and a circumstance where you might not make the Lord's Day under certain circumstances and situations with work and others? That's possible. But we're trying to build character. And so, what mistake can we make as parents when it comes to instilling faith in tests? What's our tendency, parents? Come on, let's be honest. What's our tendency when our child's placed in a tough situation? What do we tend to want to do?
Bail them out.
Get them out of it. And why, man, there's many cases. Again, we're dealing with judgment here. Listen to me. There's judgment here. I cannot tell you every circumstance and situation you may face with the age of your child and what they're dealing with and how you handle it. That's why we need to pray. But the worst thing we can do is to rescue our children from important tests of faith. And what I mean by rescue, it could mean compromise. It could mean walking away from things, and anyway, there's a lot of ways we could develop this, but it's really important. Now, again, there are times I do need to stand in and not have my child face something. Understand me. I'm not saying they get thrown to the wolves, but we need wisdom here. And I'm not advancing again here. Let's see if we can. There we go. And you know who's going to be tested sometimes more than our children? Us. It goes back to our own personal faith and convictions. What you'll find oftentimes, I mean, I've had my kids beg me, oh, I need to do this. I will miss this. How can you let this happen? People are going to think I'm strange. I can remember we wouldn't let our daughter go to dances. And woo, and she was in middle school and other things. And we as parents showed, we're not going to do this. And we talked to her about it. And again, we may not always make the best judgments. We're talking about judgments here. But we need to make sure that we are not caving in. And parents, boy, you know, sometimes what would the parents say when they spank the child? This hurts me worse than it hurts you. Well, it stands like this also. It'll turn your heart inside out. And what's the fear of parents here? Let's say all the kids on the trip are going to Six Flags on Sunday morning. And how the parent may rationalize? Let's just talk about the one who compromises here. What they may rationalize? If my child doesn't go, then what? Fill in the blank. They won't be liked by the other kids. Okay, that's one. What's another one? The fearful parent. This is going to be disastrous. They won't be liked by others. And what else?
Won't like me. They won't like me.
They won't like me as parents? Yeah, that's good. I lose my relationship with them. And what else? Another real important relationship. They may not want to go to church. They may not like God. And can I tell you, that is fear speaking and not faith. Remember we read in the beginning of this lesson, Hebrews 12, where does respect come from children? From the father who does what? Who chastens their son. Your child will respect boundaries. They'll respect conviction. They will feel stronger when you, with wisdom, stand by faith. We'll talk about work next week and probably get into a new lesson. Thank you for your attention this morning.